time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 25th of May 2013. Island Life is our weekly magazine show, focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On Saturday, the 25th of May, David Basham spoke to Speaking with Confidence coach Janie Laser and Waiheke Budgeting Services manager Amelia Lawley.
Well, I've got Janie in here and she's doing a course on speaking with confidence. So hi there, how are you today?
I'm really, really good. Thank you, David.
Good. Yeah, so I picked your article up in the Golf News, and it's headed Communicate with Confidence. What's this all about?
I think in our everyday lives, we don't really think about all of the things that are involved in communication, and our relationships with the people around us are improved 100-fold if we're aware of other people. Quite often people get very stressed about either giving presentations, speaking in public, and there are some very simple techniques that people can use to help themselves relax. Quite often people are fearful about possibly looking silly or not performing to their best ability. And it really is a question of perception. If you're worried about speaking in public, then your worry comes through in how you actually project. Whereas if you translate that fear into excitement or anticipation and look at the pleasure that people are going to get about hearing your message, then your body changes and you communicate with greater confidence and people respond to that.
Yeah, I read somewhere where, I know this isn't literal, but when they did a survey, people put public speaking like near the top, and death was about 3 or 4. They really are frightened of public speaking, and I know that I had a terrible stutter when I was young, and the prospect of speaking just frightened me. It's since stopped, but I fixed that, but it's a really it can really be quite scary. So what can people expect when they come to your course?
What happens is that we work as a group. There are obviously different exercises that I do within the group. People work in pairs, people work in groups. And one of the main things is by the end of the session, which is a 3-hour session, they can actually stand up and feel very relaxed about talking to other people. Yes, they may still have nerves, but at the same time they're going to learn how to master those nerves. I think Rod Stewart said fairly recently in an interview, somebody was asking, was he apprehensive about his new record coming out? And he said, well, of course I'm nervous. Everyone's nervous because people are judging you. He said, but people want you to do well. And the day that I stop feeling nervous, then there is something wrong. So yeah, I think nerves are good. Yeah, nerves are good.
Yeah, well, it shows you're alive. I mean, I don't think you can quite... If you're not feeling a little bit nervous, there's something a bit too relaxed about the whole thing and you lose an edge. But the thing that I used to do in the early days was I'd say to myself, I can do this, lots of you can't. And I know that sounds a bit harsh on the people in the audience, but it was my way of going, well, look, I can do this, and I know I can do it. A lot of you are scared, so I'll just keep going.
Absolutely.
I think you start off with that time where the audience is a blur, and then one day they're not a blur, and that's amazing feeling.
Well, it's at that stage then you really connect with your audience. Yeah. And I think if you talk from your heart, if you talk about something that you're really passionate about, that you know about, so you're prepared in the first instance, then your head, if you like, your mind, your hands and your feet. So your mind, the perception on how you actually see yourself in front of the audience, your hands with your gestures and your feet and how you actually stand, your stance, everything falls into place. If you like, when you speak from the heart, your head, hands and feet work together.
Yeah, and it's true. I've got a 7-minute speech that I did for a speaking organisation that I was belonged to, and it's about how I got over my stutter, and I never forget it. I can do it at the drop of a hat. It's been years, but never forgotten it, because it's something I really, really, really believe in. So this course is... When is this, Joni?
It's next week. It's in the Onitangi Hall.
Right.
On Wednesday the 29th. It's a three-hour workshop. And what I'd like to do is to offer one place at this workshop. Normally it would cost $50, and I'd like to offer one place on this workshop. So if people go to my website, that's janielazar.com, JanieLazar.com, just sign up for the newsletter, and then I will know who's actually signed up and be in contact with one person who will get a place at that workshop.
Oh, that's very, very generous. Now, I gather that doing this one on Waiheke is not the only courses you run or you have run. Tell us more about the other ones you've been doing.
The other workshops that I've been running are focusing on sales. And the reason why I say sales is that people readily identify with sales. But we all sell all of the time. When you consider that parents are in constant negotiation with their children, for example. In the workplace, we all work with other people to get things done. It's a natural part. Whether you call it sales, whether you call it the power of influence, it's actually getting other people to do what we want when we want. So it's another form of communication. And within the workshop, then, we focus on those skills that make us aware of how we communicate. Because it's not just about talking. It's about learning how to listen as well.
Have you had a background in sales or a background in acting or speaking?
Not at all. My background really is marketing and advertising. And looking back in my early years, I was absolutely fine in presenting the creative work to my clients, getting them to spend money. But I was very poor at selling myself. I lacked confidence there. I was always, if you like, the shy little girl learning how to be good, keeping in the background. And gradually I learned to become more confident, and I thought, well, I can help other people to do the same. And putting together the communications workshops and sales workshops was a very good way to help other people, that they too could, if you like, conquer their nerves and turn that fear into excitement. So another workshop that I'll be running will be over in Devonport in June, which means that people from the city can come over to that, people from Devonport, and indeed people from Waiheke who perhaps can't make the midweek one.
Oh, that's really great, because Devonport's really easy to get to from Waiheke, and it's not too bad there and back. And Devonport's lovely. I love Devonport. My granny lived there when I was very young, and I used to go over. We lived in Parnell, and I'd go and visit my granny every Wednesday, and that was just my big treat, and I've never forgotten. She was a little Swedish woman, and I've never ever forgotten how much I enjoyed that. So how long have you been doing these courses?
Really for the last, goodness now, let me think. These two particular courses, for the last 5 years, on and off.
Oh, that's great. Mm. So you've had some real solid experience. So if people know that you've got some real solid oomph behind what you're going to impart to them. When people arrive at this course, are they going to have to get up and speak straight away? Are they going to have to get up in front of people straight away?
Not at all. It's a very easy lead-in, if you like. We get to know each other as a group. There are different exercises that I do to get people talking to each other. And gradually, people amaze themselves. Yeah. Suddenly they find that they're standing there and actually enjoying the experience.
It's just that my experience, people have that fear that as soon as they arrive, they're going to have to get up and speak in front of people. And I can see that you actually know that fear, and you're letting people move into it gradually rather than a big shock, because that puts people off. I know that from personal experience.
And it's learning as well about the different types of personalities, learning how to listen, and getting an accurate picture, if you like, of how aware we are. There are different exercises I do there to help people, if you like, sharpen their skills. And looking at personality types, because there are four key personality types. And if we're aware of how individuals are made up, what their character is like, then you can tailor your own communication to them and learn how to listen and how to talk to that person.
Now you've just intrigued the listeners, and we've got time. What are the personality types? Just give me a brief, and you've started it off.
you've landed me in it here. There are very many personality profiling types, psychometric testing, and it's used a lot in
being there
in the workplace.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing, rather than going into that in depth on the course, is just touching on the four key personality types. And, for example, I would colour code them. That's a very easy way of people remembering them. So, for example, somebody who I would classify as a red type is very direct. They might be an accountant, an engineer, somebody who works with statistics. And this type of person you've got to talk very directly to. They don't want to know about what you feel, what you think, and all of the soft kind of talk that might go with that. They want to know what it's going to cost, what it's going to do for me, when you're going to come back with a budget figure, and it's boom, 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 and you have to tailor your time. So, for example, the CEO of a company, that would be the way that probably he would talk. And if you know in advance, you can maximise your time with him and not waste his time.
That would not work for me.
No, I think you and I are fairly similar. We enjoy a good old banter.
Yeah,
and it's very easy. Quite often in our subconscious, we pick up these things.
So that's a sort of another. The colours are. I think I went somewhere where they talked about eagles and peacocks, and that's pretty much the same kind of thing.
They all boil down to the same thing.
So, what do you think you and I would be? What colour?
Green.
Green.
Ooh, green.
Not my favourite colour.
Well, it's mine.
Yeah. Blue's mine. Always has been. And yellow. But that's interesting. Green. Tell us about the green. What are the green people?
More feeling types.
Yep. That's me.
We thrive on the connection with other people. We're visual people. We like to share. We're people who empathise.
You've not been talking to my mother, have you?
No, unfortunately, I didn't have time to Google you before I came in. But I think if you have a greater understanding and can learn how to listen to other people, you can pick up very quickly on the way in which you can talk to them, to communicate with them, to connect with them.
Yeah, if communicating with people is your part of your job or part of your what you have to do, the speaking part of it is not as important as the listening part. Anyone who listens, people love, don't they?
They absolutely love. I mean, yep. I have a formula, if you like, and it's 2-2-1-1-2-1. 2-2-1-1-2-1. And if you like, we're given two ears, two eyes, and one mouth. And I think if you use them in that proportion, your relationships, your one-to-one relationships, improve.
Yeah,
and they get better all the time.
Because at times I say there's a conversation where two people are talking, one person's talking, the other one's desperately trying to find a space to interrupt. And I used to be an interrupter. It's taken me a long time to learn. Radio's helped me to just wait for the signal when people have stopped.
Well, you're certainly in radio, you're then going on to something else, aren't you? Because the listeners can't hear us. All they can do is pick us up or pick up the tone of our voices. And again, there's another relationship between how your body talks, the tone of your voice, and the words that you use. So when you're speaking in front of an audience, I the percentage, if you like, is 7%. People will only hear, or if you like, the percentage is 7%. How your body talks is around 55%. The tone of your voice is 38%. Mm. So the way you communicate, particularly on radio, how people listen to us and what they hear depends on the feeling that we impart.
And it's interesting because both of us have been using our hands a lot.
And yet nobody can see them.
Has a clue that we're using our hands. Way we go, and we're waving them around and doing them. And we've both been doing as if we're speaking to an audience. And that's really interesting. Well, I'm very pleased you came in. It was good to extend it out to personality types. So where do you put that into your course? Do you put that into the sales course or the speaking course?
It actually goes into both of them because I think it's very useful. I mean, in the course, we're going to look at being able to evaluate ourselves, look at the personality typing. There'll be different exercises so that people can get used to listening to other people, to summarising information that they have learnt about, for example, in a pairs exercise. And then they'll have the opportunity to create little cameos themselves, and it'll all be about information that they know. It could be the most wonderful experience they've had. It could be their strengths and weaknesses, and just giving themselves the opportunity to practice on something that they know that they love.
Yeah,
I think that's the secret.
Yeah, and when it's about yourself or about an experience, it becomes so much easier. Just give us, when is the course again?
The course is on Wednesday next. It's the Wednesday the 29th. It's at the Onitangi Hall. And as I say, I'm happy to give away one place at that. If people would like to contact me through the website, that's janielazar.com. And the phone number that they can reach me on is 027-955-2264.
And all of that is on page 42 of the What's On guide in the Golf News.
It is indeed.
And that's great. Well, thank you very, very much for coming in. I really appreciate it. And it's good to learn some things. And public speaking has been something that really interests me. It's very different from radio.
It certainly is.
Yeah. It's sometimes you like to have people around because I either like it when I'm all on my own here and it's dark outside and I'm here playing jazz music, but it's nice to have other people around because you do like to sort of see people's response. Well, thank you very, very much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
And thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Now, this is Waiheke Radio, your community radio station, 88.3 107.4, and this is Island Life. I'm your host, David, and we have in the studio Amelia, who is the manager of the Waiheke Budgeting Service. Good morning, how are you?
Morning, David, I'm fine, thank you.
Right, when I realised I was doing this program, I thought we've heard lots about budgets and mm-hmm. people trying to make ends meet and power bills, and
yep.
we all have these things and they all seem to be going up. So what's the Waiheke Budgeting Service all about?
Well, we are a non-profit organisation. We're a community organisation. We our core work really is budgeting advice, and that can be on a one-off basis from people who may be about to experience a change in life, like maybe they want to buy a new car or refinance their house or maybe thinking about having another baby. And they can come in and we can just look at their budget and see whether it's going to be feasible, what they want to do. And then we also do ongoing budgeting advice where people come in and they're in a bit of a mess and we draft a budget for them. We look at where their money's going. We gently make suggestions about where they could possibly lower their expenses, increase their income. We check they're getting everything they're entitled to from work and income if they're on a benefit or working for families.
Yeah, and I think that that's really important because I'm sure you would find there are some people who don't realise that there is quite a bit of assistance out there.
There is.
I mean, we hear stories about not getting this and people not getting that, but in fact there is quite a bit of assistance. I'm not saying it's a fortune, but it can help you.
Well, there are little supplements that you can access and, you know, that sort of meet certain personal situations and personal needs. And the approach of work and income is not to tell people unless they ask. So we do a fair bit of advocacy and straightening people out with what they are actually entitled to, because those benefits are there for a reason. And it's just, I find it incredible how little information is actually given out without
Because
being requested.
I mean, they're put in there by whatever government's in. They're put in there. They're there for a reason. They are an entitlement. They're what you're entitled to if you fit the criteria. So why shouldn't they say it's not there? I mean, I know people don't want to run down work and income.
No, nor do I. No.
But it sounds like it's their money, like their personal money.
Yeah.
I've often wondered why they just don't go, here's all the things you can have, apply if you fit the, I mean, isn't it? If you apply and you fit the criteria, you get whatever benefit it is. If you don't, then you don't. It's not
it's
like you have to go there begging for it.
No. So, yeah, no, I don't want to run down work and income either.
No, they do. I've had experience
really
of them.
Yeah.
They do a good job.
Yeah, they do. The other thing is working for families. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, as you know, Waiheke has a lot of foreign residents, people from overseas, and a lot of people don't know about working for families, that there is assistance which is targeted at people who have children. Regardless of your income source, whether you're on a benefit or working, you can you automatically qualify for the family tax credit per child. On top of that, if you're working 20 hours a week as a solo parent or 30 hours as a couple in total, you're also eligible for the in-work tax credit, which was the policy, the idea behind that was making work pay. So it was an extra incentive for people to not rely on being on a benefit, but actually look at work, moving into work, because then you get this extra money. A lot of people don't know that that's there. So that's another thing that we quite often can, you know, end up hooking people up with.
So that's for families where someone has decided, I'll go off the benefit, I'll go into work.
Yes.
And they can get...
they can get that extra in-work tax credit, yeah.
Oh, that's it. I see, I didn't know much about
that. Well, again, if you're new to the country or you're new to the whole system, you have to know about it to actually apply for it. It doesn't just happen automatically.
Yeah.
So back to what we do. We also do a lot of debt management for people. A lot of times people don't actually come to us until they're really deeply in debt. I'm trying desperately to change that by publicising our presence more, so people come to us before it's ambulance at the bottom of the cliff time. But if it is, you know, there's no debt that can't be managed in some way. It can take years to pay it off, but you know, once you've put a program in place and you just chip away at it week by week, it's doable. And there's things we can do. We can negotiate with creditors to arrange a write-off of a certain amount if you can make a lump sum payment of the majority of the debt. We can negotiate small weekly repayments. We can negotiate interest freezes. These are all things that we've sort of, the tools we've got in our little box. And then we monitor how that's going. We keep in touch with the creditors. We keep in touch with the client. And we sort of keep that relationship smoothly running between the two, because creditors they're not evil by nature. They just want their money back. So if people are upfront with the fact they can't pay, or they come to an organisation like ours, then it looks better for them, and the creditors are generally more sympathetic.
And I think that's what the people have a hesitancy to do, and they try and pay Peter off against Paul, and in fact they're fobbing people off, dodging calls.
Absolutely.
And the people who they owe money to are getting a bit brassed off, and they want to take action against them, whereas I'll tell you, when I came back to the island, Lee was the manager. I used to be a next door neighbour of Lee.
Oh, really? Oh.
And I went in there and I said, Lee, I've got spaces in between contracts. Can I do something? And I was doing computer input.
Oh, wonderful.
Because no one had the time or really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
But I went in there and just...
Great.
And I just... did computer input, yeah. And they bought me cakes and me coffee.
We're very hospitable.
And they were amazing to me.
Most of my day is taken up making cups of tea, pretty much. I'm just the, I'm a glorified tea lady. Lee's fantastic, and she's back with us now. She's the coordinator, so she looks after the budget advisors. She oversees their work, checks their files, and I'm the sort of administrative manager. I do the publicity side of things. I do the community education program, because that's a big drive of ours. Now we're running courses at adult literacy at Waikiki Primary.
Right. Because that's something we don't learn.
No.
Like it's not at school on how to budget, because we all won't have the money we really want.
Yeah.
And that awful thing, credit cards. I think the banks, I mean, I just refuse to have anything from the bank because. Not that I was having a problem, but I was being asked all the time, do I want to have this amount of money? And I know where they've given, asked people, do they want an increase in credit, to a person who they must have known they couldn't
afford. Once they've got you in there, they've got you. They want you for life. You know, we've just finished doing a course with some young people who are on the youth benefit. This is a contract we've got with Youthline. And, I mean, they're all turning 18 within the next few months, and we were just trying so hard to impress on them. You are going to be approached by banks offering you credit the minute you turn 18. The minute your birthday cake candles are blown out, they'll be on the phone, you know. So, you know, if we have to scare the crap out of you about this stuff, we will,
you
know, because seriously, we see so many young people come in with credit card debt that they don't, it's not their fault. They just don't have the knowledge. No one's told them this isn't free money. This money is, you know, going to cost you double if you don't pay it off every month before the due date. It's just crazy.
And the interest rates. What are we talking about, the interest rates on credit card? Let's scare
generally
people.
Generally go 20. Between 17 and 25%.
Yeah, so we'll scare the people. 17 to 25%, that's on a credit card.
We've got
card.
A fantastic YouTube clip that we show our students, which is a graphic somebody's put together, which is explaining credit card repayments using a glass of water and a jug of water. And it shows, you know, you pay the, if you take out a $10,000 loan and you pay the minimum back each month, which is $142, once the interest stacks back up, you pay interest, you pay interest, you pay. It takes something like 30 years, and you end up paying $60,000 off on a $10,000
loan. I think that's amazing. Mm. I mean, that should be in schools.
Yeah.
It should be everywhere, because people don't realise. It's so easy to put a couple of $100s on a credit card, but you're not paying back $200. You look how much you pay. It's the minimum payment. Mm. It's not, the minimum payment.
If you can
it's like shekels.
Exactly. If you can actually work a credit card cleverly, responsibly, it's incredibly handy. Yeah. But you've got to pay it off within the interest-free period.
Nobody tells you that, though. Nobody tells
you
how to do it. Yeah, the bank don't want you to pay it off. The bank, as you say, once they've got you, they really do want to get you and incur a lot of debt. And how many people can really handle a credit card?
Not many.
I mean, not many. Oh. I just choose not to have it.
Well, it totally capitalises on humankind's lack of impulse control. I mean, we want what we... Exactly.
Shoes. Oh. I love shoes.
So do I. I just bought my 12th pair of boots from the SPCA. Ooh, my son said to me, Mum, I think you've got a problem.
Oh, never, never, ever. My friends call me Imelda.
Yes.
Imelda Marcus, because I've got so many pairs of shoes.
Yeah, mine are all secondhand, so I can kind of
pat
myself on the back there.
No, I think that's a great... Picking up things secondhand, would be one of those.
Oh,
I've seen, like, Calvin Klein jeans for a
Zambezi waistcoat I'm wearing right now. Yeah.
And that doesn't happen with men's stuff much, but with women's things.
We've got such great op shops in Waiheke, though. I mean,
they're
SPCA
amazing.
and the one at the tip. Yeah. What's it called? Hope Shop.
New Hope Shop.
And
I
Red
know
Cross,
family who they buy their work clothes, and they have Calvin Klein jeans, they have French shoes, they have all sorts for a handful of dollars, and I think that's great. I think the one thing that I think Lee taught me in that time that I was working there, that was fun.
It really was.
If anyone's got some time and they've got a bit of time to give, go in and ask you guys, can they do something? Because I loved it. Don't hide your head in the sand.
Absolutely.
It's never going to get better if you don't do something. And they'll leave you alone if, someone rings up from an organisation like the Budgeting Service, the creditors will listen.
They will, yep,
because,
that's right.
And do you actually take over sometimes people's finances?
It really depends. Yes, we do a total money management service for people who are sort of incapacitated for other reasons, for either physically or mentally or are ill, and really actually do need someone to manage their entire income. That's really for the extreme end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
How much we get sort of involved and how much we really sort of take control really depends on the needs of the client. You know, we sort of start off with each client entirely based on what they want from us, their goals. We never sort of impose. We never say, well, you should do this, you should do that. So if somebody wants us just to do the initial talk to the bank, or talk to the, you know, GE Finance, or talk to Baycorp, and then they take it on from there once they've had that initial set up, that's cool. If they want us to be continue to be the their advocate with that organisation dealing with their debts going forward, then we'll do that. It's entirely up to them.
And I think that's wonderful to have an advocate because I used to do that kind of work in mental health. And it just means they have somebody else who they know's not the person.
Yeah.
And if they go to you, I mean, the creditors are happier when they hear from people like you.
Well, it shows that the client's actually making an effort. They're actually taking quite a large step towards resolving things.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, the minute people walk in the door of our house where we work, you see it's almost a physical, you know, they're just sharing it, just being there, just getting the burden, you know, off their chest and knowing that they're not just carrying it alone, that we're actually standing beside them through the process now. It just makes such a difference to their stress levels.
Yeah, and that would be
I love seeing that.
Yeah, and I got the impression, I mean, I didn't hear what was going on, of course, because I wasn't, that wasn't the thing I was there for. But it was obvious that people were feeling good. And you've got someone who's on your side.
Absolutely. Yep.
And they're not going to judge you.
No, absolutely not.
And a couple of the people I spoke to said, I've been in this position myself. That's why I'm here.
That's why we're here. Yeah. Exactly. We've all, I mean, money problems can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
It's not just about being on a benefit or...
Some of those people are really good managers.
Absolutely.
People on a benefit.
Absolutely.
Because they've learned it well.
And it can be an illness. It can be a relationship breakup. It can be... you crash your car. There's all sorts of life events that can tip somebody's carefully balanced financial situation into turmoil. And that's none of those things are anyone's fault. You know, they're not, people don't choose to get into debt necessarily. It's either a case of they don't understand what they're doing, or things have just got out of control for whatever.
And if someone gets offered another $1,000 on a credit card and they're in trouble, how tempting is it to take?
Course.
I'll fix it. I'll be all right.
Yeah.
I know I can handle it.
Mm.
Well, those payments start adding up. I mean, they're really quite... because I've listened to, there's a guy at South Auckland who talks on the radio sometimes.
Daryl,
Daryl, he's amazing.
He's
incredible to talk
with. He's allowed to be outspoken because we're part of a federation, Family Budgeting Service Federation, so we're meant to be non-political, which is just completely impossible when you're dealing with the situations that we're dealing with.
I know it would be.
But he's not. He's an independent service, so he can shout and scream. And I really admire him. I think he's
fantastic. Because he talks about child poverty, and it's shocking.
I know.
I mean, it really shocks me to know what the level of it. And it's I know some people, they just gamble the money. It's not true. That is so far from the truth.
There just isn't enough money.
No, there just isn't for some things.
No.
There just isn't.
No.
Rent's terrible in Waiheke.
Rent's terrible in Waiheke. Absolutely terrible. This is another one of my little soapboxes.
People get told, you know, I met someone the other day and they said to me, I'm so happy. And I said, why is that? They said, I've just been told that I don't have to leave my property. And that was just such a relief. And people who own their own homes have no idea that that's such a relief because it means just... And bonds are hard to find and things.
Yeah.
But getting back to what you were saying, I really was interested. If you think you're having sort of a life-changing thing, you're having a... going to have you're planning on having a child, you can talk to you guys about how will this affect us and what's the cost and things.
What things that, you know, what if you do say, taking that example, you know, what entitlements you'll get then with this child. I mean, you're looking at one person stopping work.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
It's a forecast. It's like, how's this going to look? I'm not suggesting anybody sort of stop having, not have a child, you know. But you know, obviously, if it's really going to be a huge change of to their circumstances, then it's worth looking at how that can be sort of ameliorated or sort of dealt with before the event rather than afterwards, when it's like, we didn't anticipate all this sort of thing. So definitely, that's fantastic. We love it when people come in that sort of preemptory. At that peremptory point, rather than like, oh my god, I just bought this car in finance, or I just quit my job and I can't find another one, and now I'm completely, you know.
Yeah, because you can give them calculations, like if I borrow money for this car, what am I going to pay back?
Yeah.
And they might go, oh, well, it's this amount of my wages, but then you've got to say, oh, I can live on $100. It gets a bit wearing after a while, living on that tiny little amount where you go out and you know you can't even, you can't even buy a coffee.
You can't participate in society. You can't be, you know, you can't actually be a functioning citizen because you can only afford to feed yourself, clothe yourself, and keep yourself warm. Yeah. You know, we're social animals. We need to be out there. We need to be enjoying interaction and you know, that costs money. And that's one of the things that makes me really sad, actually, is, you know, so many of our clients are just existing and we've got their budgets just balanced to the point where, you know, there's a couple of dollars in it per week. Yeah. And I find that really, really sad.
And that must be so hard to keep going.
It is.
Knowing
it's
that
a grind.
It's week after week after week after week after week. And other people are having nice things and they got flash stuff. And I mean, okay, it's not, I mean, it's difficult. I'm sure it would be very hard to pay something off where you know there's very little there. And yet, on the other hand, it can be an enormous relief that at least you've got some control over it.
That's right. That's essentially what we're trying to do, is we're trying to give people back their power over their situation.
But I think the banks, I heard something on the radio where they'd given this elderly person who could not manage their gave her a credit card.
God, that's
and I mean, they ended up having an action taken against them because they'd already cancelled the one and paid it off the family, but they let her have another one.
Yeah.
And I just think it's...
It's cynical. It's awful.
Yeah, I think it's cynical. Yeah, I really think it's
blatantly...
And I remember someone being told, oh, well, you knew what you could do and how much you could afford. Come on. You see the beautiful, you can have this lovely holiday with all these things and fancy cars and stuff. Yeah. It's all...
Oh, the consumer world we live in has a lot to answer for. You know,
and it pushes at people. Yeah. And I'm a great one for, you know, working in mental health. I'm a great one for going, hey, you know, it's not always that simple. It certainly isn't that simple.
Yeah. And it doesn't actually make you any happier. It's just you know, it's gratification.
But
very short term.
But the temptation, you know, we all like to have...
Oh,
fancy shirts and I mean, this shirt I bought it purely because it was $30.
Yeah.
It's very flash shirt, but I wouldn't have bought it if it wasn't $30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can dress yourself so well from op shops and secondhand shops.
Yeah. Oh, look, I know that from my own family who are always looking. Just pop in there and have a look. And
you'll have things that no one else has got. You'll have beautiful, you know, fabrics and lovely vintage, you know, things that no one else is going to march in the room.
You're not going to be seen, and that's a great thing.
Yeah.
So you provide those budgeting services. Mm-hmm. You can provide the full budgeting services. Mm-hmm. Are there any other services you provide?
We have a food bank. That's sort of an emergency measure, really, for people who've run out of entitlement with working income, because everybody who's on a benefit has a certain entitlement per year for food.
Oh, really? Yeah. You have an
and
entitlement?
Water. Yep.
So what's the entitlement?
Oh, it depends on your circumstances.
Oh,
it's one of those things where we can't quite ever... It's an ephemeral amount.
Right.
You know,
I
would love to know, but I don't know what the actual number value is
per
person.
That mustn't feel too good for people.
No.
So you've got a food bank.
So we've got a food bank. So if people run out of their work and income entitlement, they can come to us. Social workers can refer their clients to us, or they can come in on their behalf. So it's not sort of open to slather
for
the world, but it's certainly there. and it's all donated. Everything's donated by the community.
Right. So how can, if people want to donate some things to your food
they
bank,
can just,
what should they do? Should they actually donate money to you
so
you
or.
Can choose it?
Either or.
But there must be things that you would want them to donate and not just anything.
Yeah. money's great because then we take the car over every few weeks and go to Pack and Save.
Yes, unfortunately, you wouldn't buy it on the island.
No,
that's sad, but it's a
well, I've got
reality.
To say, Countdown are awesome. They give anything that you know gets dented or broken, they give us a ring and we take what we can. And you know, so tins are great. Meat, tinned fish, cheap cuts of meat that we can put in the freezer, milk powder.
Right.
Fresh veggies and stuff are fantastic as well. I mean, we get a lot of support from the community gardens. They
really
they come
and you're okay with that.
A couple of times
that.
A week with these great, you know, abundant baskets of produce. It's
that's
fantastic.
Amazing because that's so important for
so
people
important.
To have. You know, just because you haven't got a lot of money doesn't mean you should have a substandard diet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so just pop in. We're at 24 Belgium Street, or give me a call.
Are you down that driveway? Or
no, we're right next to the Pensioner Flats,
right next to
opposite where the market is.
Yeah, I've seen the sign, but
I've got a very flash new sign.
Oh, excellent. Which was donated, of course.
It was done at a very, very, very good rate by
good.
A wonderful woman called Michelle Lewis.
Working for a NGO, a non-profit thing, I'm very aware of that, you've got to say. Oh, no, it didn't come out of that
honestly,
money.
Honestly, this community is so generous. Mm. It is so generous. I mean, I can't say that enough. I just, you know, every day I'm just blown away by the people coming in with just, you know, just whatever they can find. And it's not necessarily wealthy people who've got stuff to give away. It's people who've just totally understand what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Maybe have been there themselves and they just want to help. And so, you know, we wouldn't run, we wouldn't function if we didn't have that support.
Actually, there is somebody who talked to me. He works, a volunteer on the Coast Guard.
Oh, yeah.
And he said there are times when he feels like giving back the donation to people.
Mm.
He said, because often you look at them and think, can you really afford this donation?
Yeah.
But they want to do it because they want to feel like they're giving back to the community.
Yep.
And he said he really felt recently like, I really want to give it back to them and say, look, no, it's all right, don't worry. You keep your money. Because people do.
Mm.
It's often the people who can least afford it know what it's like.
Exactly.
They know where they've been.
It's empathy.
And they go, well, I want to give something.
Yeah.
And, of course, kids also are a bit persuasive. They want to put money in
into little holes.
Yeah, I watched a little fella at the market when we were selling T-shirts one day, and his father gave him some money to put in the guitar player's guitar case, and he went over, got it there, and then put it in his pocket.
I
laughed.
He'll never need to come to the budgeting service.
No, his father looked at me and didn't really appreciate me laughing, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, and so you do the food bank? What anything?
We have a counsellor, and she's free for our clients. She's awesome. She practices narrative therapy, which is a sort of a style of counselling which looks forward rather than back. So, you know, rewriting your story, going on.
That's wonderful because that's so expensive for people, and sometimes people really need that help. I mean, told you, I work in mental health. I run a mental health facility, and people. They're often ringing me up, and what can they do? I must admit, I do ask them if they're part of your organisation and that they can get that there.
Yeah,
because it's so expensive. It is $70, $80.
And especially for someone of Laurie's calibre, she's really fantastic.
Yeah.
She's so qualified.
That's wonderful.
Just lost my train of thought. I was going to say something. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I mean, 9 times out of 10, if somebody comes in and they are, people who come in with financial difficulties, there's a whole lot of stuff behind that. So that's why we got a counsellor in because we were only addressing part of the problem.
Yeah, you've got to deal with the whole
person. Issues, and then the money problems cause stress in relationships, and cause stress in families, and it's a very, very cumulative and sort of compounded situation.
School uniforms, school fees.
Yeah,
you've just spent. I mean, I'm not saying. Mm. I mean. Solo mum, she's been at work all day. She may be a commuter. She comes home and the kid gives her a bill for $100. Well, where's that going to come from?
I know, exactly.
You know.
Speaking of school uniforms, that's another thing we've been doing. Leslie at the SPCA, bless her socks, she gathers together all the uniforms she's donated and gives
them
to us so we can give them out to people in the community.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because they're expensive, man. I mean, yeah, my son's been through three fleeces in the last 2 years and they cost $60-$70 each.
They grow so quickly.
So that's a fantastic thing we've been able to offer in the last year or so.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, because there must be school uniforms sitting, not being used. So if someone has school uniforms,
bring them on.
They bring them around to you.
They can be dirty. We don't care. We'll wash them.
You'll wash them.
Whatever.
So what's your address again?
24 Belgium Street.
Right. So people can do that with school uniforms.
They can do that with school uniforms.
I think that's a great way of recycling them because they are they are a demand. Mm. And even if they don't have school uniforms, still providing the clothes, they get worn out fairly quickly, don't they?
Definitely.
Yeah.
What else do we do? I suppose the education is the other big factor about what we're trying to do is actually getting kids particularly to understand financial concepts and particularly the connection between money and work and responsibility. As early as possible.
So I know, it does sound like, that again, but it's reality.
It's fun, man. Like, I've been working at Waiheke Primary this week, and we've been doing some fantastic work around the evolution of currency.
Wonderful.
And, doing playing charades and acting out what jobs our parents do. And, the first thing I asked them was, where does money come from? And they were saying the most hilarious things, like, oh, it comes from the Queen. You can find it. Sometimes you can steal it. Oh, those people have those things that they go along on the beach and it beeps and they dig up, they find money. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, okay, yep. Well, these are all, fairly interesting responses. But, where does your mum go in the morning? Where does your dad go in the morning? What do they do during the day? They're going to have coffee. I was like, no, but what do they, what do they do? Oh, they go to work. I'm like, yes, work. That's where money comes from. And they're all like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, I do work. I do pocket, I get pocket money.
Yeah.
It's tying all those things together.
It's tying it together.
Yeah. And that's with the littlies, with the older kids, with the high school kids,
Yeah. But it's a good start.
Talking about credit cards. Don't get credit cards,
The high school kids often just don't really know where money comes from. And I know I was talking to someone whose son's transitioned from school to work, and he's still trying to get the same deals he did from his mother when he was at school. And she's going, no, you're at work. Aren't you going to pay that anymore? And it's reality of what we deal
and
with.
And it amazes me every day that budgeting, budgeting is such a punitive, horrible word, but, financial literacy, that's my capability.
I like that.
I prefer. Is not taught in high school.
No.
It's just ridiculous.
But the financial literacy also is not for older people. Mm. Like, older people just went, that finance company's going to give me all that money, or I've got this deal and it's going to pay me 50% or big return, and if it's too good to be true, it probably is. I used to work in the financial field. I must admit, I was on the edge of it, and I really didn't like some of the things that were going on.
No.
Because some of these people have this money, but it's all they've got for the rest of their life. Mm. And a lot of people lost a lot of money.
I know
people go, they were rich and everything.
No.
But it's all relative.
It is all relative.
People. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Thanks for having me.
If there's a group out there that wants you to come and talk to them, because I think you would make a fabulous speaker.
That's our next mission. We're putting together a PowerPoint presentation to take in workplaces, church groups, sports groups, and just telling people really succinctly what we do and how we can help.
Okay, so how can they get hold of you?
372-6300.
Right.
We also have a Facebook page and a website. But the phone is the quickest.
Yeah. And they can get you, and you can go out and talk to them.
Absolutely. Oh, we'd love to.
Give them these It is scary. No, when you realize just how much it is, if you take on, and it's not just like $10,000. If you take on a couple of thousand, even if you put $200 on a credit card just to pay that off at minimum time,
$100
is a
$100
long time.
Loan on 10% paying $10 a week will take, I think it's 6 months, and will cost you $240 odd dollars.
Yeah. I know it's not as simple. It's so easy to put it on there, and it easy, I'll pay it back, but then it just, it's net, all the money you pay doesn't come off.
And
the
there's fees and there's, you know, loan establishment costs. There's so many hidden costs. You know, I would urge anyone who was considering getting credit or getting a credit contract, or, you know, previously known as hire purchase, to just really check it out or come talk to us and, we'll, you know, we can really explore it and find out whether it's worth it.
Yeah, I think that's good. And also those ones where they go, you transfer your debt to us, you'll be this for 6 months. But that seems appealing. But 6 months goes by really fast. And then you're onto their top rate.
Exactly.
I've almost been giving people a lecture, but it's something that I really
ranting and raving at parties
myself.
And people go, oh, she's heaps of fun. You like having her around, but I can't help it. It's like, you know, so.
Yeah. You work in mental health. You say you work in mental health, the room goes quiet because nobody wants to admit to anything.
Well, saying you're a budget advisor is pretty sort of bit of a party killer. Oh, that sounds
absolute pleasure. I used to work for Accident Compensation. Corporation.
Oh, dear.
Never told anyone that I did that.
No.
Because you just got whammed.
I bet. You know, it'd be almost as bad as saying you work for IRD.
Yeah. Oh, I know people who work for IRD. They don't tell people where they work because it's just not worth it.
No.
But at least it's interesting. But I do, when I say I work in mental health, they either get very interested and ask you questions or they just go totally quiet and think, you don't know what's wrong with me. We've all got something.
Oh, yeah. I can read your mind, all that sort of thing.
So, thank you very much. Wonderful for you to be in here, and I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
People know where to get in touch with you and get on your website. And if they can donate tin goods or some money, school uniforms, anything like that, they can help you with. You don't be afraid to ask you.
No.
They may think, oh, they won't want this. Well, you
just
need to have the
us.
Opportunity
Absolutely.
To. Don't let people decide that.
Oh, people have brought in washing machines that we've been able to give to clients. I mean, it's, you know, there's a use for everything, pretty much.
Yeah, right. I think that's amazing because we've actually got a little store of whiteware that's been given to us, and we've given that to people who've moved from Wish out into the community.
Right, yeah.
So we've been able to set them up because they're expensive.
They are.
Why haven't secondhand fridges come down in price? I cannot believe the price. They can't be worth that.
No.
But they're horrendous.
No, no.
And we need it these days because you see meat cheap or something inexpensive if you can on the island, and you can freeze it. But if your fridge is just suddenly gone. Okay. Well,
thanks so
thank
much
you
for
very,
me.
Very much for coming in.
Okay.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.